In the name of Jesus, amen. We continue our journey today through the so-called seven deadly sins, seeking to better diagnose what they are, and especially to better learn how they are overcome in Christ. We've pondered pride and envy so far. Today we deal with anger. In Dante's medieval work, Purgatorio, each traveler in his story undergoes a particular discipline as he ascends the allegorical mountain of the seven deadly sins. And in the third layer, wrath, the souls are punished by being enveloped in thick smoke. The reason is simple. Anger blinds your senses. When a person is ruled by wrath, he does not see or think or hear clearly or rightly. Or, as Jesus says, they have eyes but do not see, and ears but do not hear. And we saw this truth played out vividly in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Peter, in a burst of anger, cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant. This act is a living image of what wrath does. It strikes at the organs of communication so that we don't speak or hear rightly. But what does our Lord do? He says, enough of this, and he restores the ear. He heals what anger has damaged, foreshadowing not only the perfect healing that our bodies will experience in him, but also and especially the reconciliation that his death and resurrection will accomplish between his people. So, on a most basic level, what exactly is the definition of anger? Anger, we could say, is the unreasonable desire for vengeance and payback. And notice the key word there, unreasonable. It is out of proportion and unjust. It is blind. And if we are honest, we know that powerful feeling that wells up in us, that changes our appearance, that makes us lash out. When it comes to anger, there are two opposite errors that we can fall into. The first is the explosive anger that I just described, when we blow up and overreact and lose our self-control and let wrath rule us. The second, which is often more subtle and dangerous, is to have no anger at all, when we refuse to be angry at something that truly deserves it. Scripture teaches us that God is not on either end of that spectrum. He's neither explosive nor apathetic, but Scripture says slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And St. Paul echoed that divine wisdom when he tells us, be angry and do not sin. So this then leads us to a distinctly Christian understanding of anger. Anger, when it is properly ordered, is a loving emotion that defends the object of our love. Consider, for instance, a father and his son. The more a father loves his child, the more he will be angry at the things that harm him: cowardice, disrespect, immoral behavior, and so on. That sort of anger is not cruelty, but care. It is love refusing to make peace with destruction. And God's anger is the same. It is always directed toward sin because sin harms his children. He hates what destroys those whom he loves. And so should we. The early church father, John Chrysostom, in the 4th century, put it this way. He who is angry without cause sins. He who is not angry when there is cause sins. For unreasonable patience is the hotbed of many vices. So explosive anger is sinful. No anger at all, apathy, is sinful. Slowness to anger, though, disciplined and ordered by love, is Christian. And so this is where you can begin to penitently apply this to yourself. If anger is a loving emotion that protects the object of our love, anger goes wrong when the object of our love becomes merely the self. You see how pride always returns as the real driver behind all sin? When my ego gets wounded, when my authority is challenged, when my image is threatened, then anger flares because my pride has been damaged. I still have eyes and ears, but I become blind and deaf. So here's how you can, at least in one way, diagnose yourself. When explosive anger erupts, ask a simple question. Who or what am I defending? What am I afraid of? What's being threatened here? For instance, when a father or mother has to discipline a child in public and they overreact or underreact in doing so, it may not be zeal for what's right that motivates them, but fear of how they appear. They want others to think of them as being competent or firm or loving. And in that moment, then, they are not defending the child's character, but their own ego. And the same thing really applies then with anyone whom you are close to on a day-to-day basis, who is just getting under your skin. You feel angry very often when you or something you desire is somehow threatened. Follow your anger, and you will often find the idols that you are clinging to hiding just beneath the surface. And by the way, I should add also that we can sometimes pretend to be angry on behalf of others because we know that makes us look good. Pride is always present. Showing emotional, righteous anger for the latest cause is a common way of virtue signaling these days. So again, the basic question always is that we should ask, is my anger self-serving or is it motivated by love for what is true and right and good and godly? All of this so far has been about diagnosing anger. What then is the cure? How is anger healed and overcome? Well, beginning with penitently accepting the diagnosis, ultimately the medicine, the antidote to unrighteous wrath that puts you right again, is the blood of Christ shed for you on the cross. For at Golgotha, think about this, every form of injustice and hatred and violence was poured out upon Jesus, the Lamb of God. The full weight of explosive sinful anger and sinful apathy tore into his flesh. And he did not retaliate with a self-defending outburst, nor did he flee from responsibility. He stood firm and took it. He turned the other cheek. He bore the wrath without becoming wrathful himself. He loved sacrificially, completely, and freely, all for you, to save you. We heard in the Ephesians reading, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Maybe one way of applying it, that is this. This is what the Father himself did on Good Friday. Before the going down of the sun, all the righteous anger that was directed at us and that would have damned us was diverted to Jesus, and he absorbed it completely. All the wrath against sin was fired at the Son of God in order to rescue us from it. He gave no opportunity to the devil to condemn us. As it is written in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So you see, the wrath of God against sin has been fully appeased by the blood of Christ, and you are now set free. Now that is something that will change your countenance from being red-faced with gritted teeth to one of joy and a relaxed smile. It is only through the work of Christ and through faith in him that Paul's words become something that you can truly do from the heart when he says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. See, here's the thing. We are made able to let go of anger because the fears that produce it have all been addressed by Jesus. We don't have to always be in fight or flight mode all the time. We know that our Lord is defending us, that he is with us, and all that we need is in his hands. We don't need to be afraid of losing out, because whatever it is that threatens us ultimately cannot harm us. We have confidence that we are safe in him, And so our defensive anger doesn't have to kick in. Vengeance is the Lord's, Scripture says. And so if wrath is necessary, we know he'll handle it. In this way, our ears and mouth and heart are restored and rescued from blindness. We now delight in the counsel given to us in James chapter 1, where it says, "Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." That is the way of God that is strong and loving and wise. So, brothers and sisters of Christ, let your anger be slow and ordered toward the defense of what God has actually called you to protect in your daily vocations. Be willing there to suffer for what is good and true and beautiful. Pray that the gentleness of Christ defines you. And know that through him, the words of Isaiah 12 are true for you, where Isaiah says, "I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." In the name of Jesus, amen.